Okay? And the Hallelujah Psalms, you know, we come to this, that would be the definition of what these psalms are. If you're visiting or you're online, we're working through the book of Psalms, at least for a little bit, and then I'll go transition to another book like I always do. Right now we're kind of, what we do is we kind of take a chunk of Psalms, because that's a lot to preach on, right? And so we come to the Hallelujah Psalms, these psalms beginning with the phrase, as it says, praise the Lord, which in the Hebrew means Hallelujah Yahweh. Now the psalms that deal with this are Psalm 105, which we just left. We're starting Psalm 106. Psalm 111, Psalm 112, Psalm 113, Psalm 135, Psalm 146, Psalm 147, Psalm 148, Psalm 149, and Psalm 150. And those are what we call the Hallelujah Psalms. Now, as we go through this, the Psalm 106 looks a lot like or has resemblance to Psalm 78, 72 verses, first 72 verses of that psalm, but also looks a lot like 1 Chronicles 16. So there's a reason for all that. Okay, so these were sung by the people as they made their way to Jerusalem during the various feasts. So when they would walk along, these were the psalms they would be singing. It was part of their culture, part of their custom to do that. They were used to prepare their hearts for worship. Okay? Prepare, so you got to think like they would think in that day. All right? They would be singing these to remind themselves of the greatness of their God. So certainly when we work through these psalms, we should see the greatness of God. Amen? And I could ask that question, how great is your God? But they would constantly sing these psalms like this to remind themselves that their God's great. We forget sometimes how great God is. He works daily in our lives, but I would say, how was he great in your life yesterday? And some of us just sit there and we'd strain at this thinking, well, what, did God do anything? Right? Fact is, he did everything. Okay, so they would these psalms would serve as reminders to the worshipers as they were on their way to exalt a majestic and glorious God, that he was worthy of all their praises, okay, and all the praise they can offer him. And so when the Jews thought about praise, they thought about in different ways than you do. Their praise, when they were thinking about praise, they thought about in terms of sacrifices in the tabernacle. So they're going to praise God. They're going to a place to praise God. Now we kind of do that today here, right? We come to church, what we call church, on a Sunday to do what? To praise God. But realistically, they were praising God the whole time they were walking to praise God. They were constantly praising God on their way to praise God. And so, Leviticus 7, we won't go there, you can read that in your own time, gives instructions for an offering known as the peace offering. Okay, so this was an offering given to thank God, thank the Lord for his great blessings towards them individually and as a nation. And it was an expression of faith and love and thanksgiving. So when they're singing these psalms, they're telling God, I love you. I'm not just saying I love you, I believe you. And I'm grateful, I'm so thankful that you're my God. Certainly when we go through the psalms, we should see that, right? When we sing praises to God, that should be what's in our heart, that my God's faithful. What does praise music teach us? What does hymns teach us? My God's faithful. My God loves me. I love him. Okay? I'm so thankful to my God. So that kind of emotion has to come out of the believer. It has to. If it doesn't, there's something wrong with our walk. Wouldn't you say so? I would think so. Okay, so it was a shared offering with, you know, as they go to the tabernacle to praise God, and they give the sacrifice. It's a shared offering with a portion being burned on the altar and a portion being given to the priest. It was always given out of a heart of gratitude. Okay? You come here and you come to this place and you meet with your body of believers. And what should be in our heart, well, the minute we walk in this door, well, actually, it should be being prepared from the time you leave today. You start preparing yourself for the next time you meet together. That's the way it should be. So you're preparing yourself with a heart of gratitude. Gratitude towards what? God? How about gratitude towards God for each one of you? Okay, God, I'm thankful for you put me in this body. How many of you are thankful you're in this body? Now, don't just say that because I'm asking the question. Because if you're grateful about being knit into the body of believers, then you wouldn't be looking for something more grandeur. Because in other words, God put me here to invest here. Right? This is my, now, I understand the body of Christ is bigger than Rathdrum Bible Church. That's not what I mean. But he put me here. And so, I'm so grateful for the brothers and sisters that you put around us, that you've knit us together with, those who you might bring, even. I see, you know, how many new people we see come all the time. I'm grateful for that. Okay, and not just that, I'm thankful. And Lord, I love you with all my heart. And I can't wait to fellowship with you, with your people. And when they were walking up to Jerusalem, that's how they felt. So they would sing these psalms that caused them to have those emotions. All right. But we're no longer required to observe these Levitical offerings like they did, okay? But we still have an obligation to offer our praises to the Lord for who he is and for all that he's done for us, down to the littlest details. Let's go to Hebrews 13:15 real quick. Now, if you're visiting here, we use the Bible a lot because this is Rathdrum Bible Church. Okay, so I preach and teach, and all the classes and Bible studies we do are strictly out of the Word of God. Okay, and so if you're watching on YouTube or wherever, that you need to know that we are a church that holds to the truth of Scripture. Okay, all right, so. As we go to Hebrews 13, I want you to take your verse 15 there. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks in his name. So we're obligated to do this. Okay? Constantly telling God, I'm grateful, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, I'm thankful. And really meaning it from our heart. And that's the good things and the bad things of life. So we're required to do that. We praise. We understand, we worship according to the value, listen to me, of God to us. Let me say that again. We praise and we understand or we gain knowledge as we worship according to the value that God is to us. So if I don't think of God as very important, my worship reflects that. If I come into a sanctuary and it's not a big thing about walking with God, my worship shows that. However big God is to me is how much I worship God. So, your praise says a lot about how much you value the Lord. So I would imagine if you were Jewish and you were walking up to the tabernacle because there's a feast to be that you're required to go, how much your heart was in that endeavor would show how much and how much you sang, how much you, I don't know what I'm trying to say there, how much came out of your heart showed your how much value God was to you. And they understood that. So if you esteem the Lord valuable, okay, you will find ways to give him praises all week long. all week long. Do you ever wonder what you could give to the Lord? Ever wonder for all that he's done for you? That thought ever crossed your mind? What can I give him? What can I do for him? I certainly can give him praises. Right? It's not that he's looking for me to perform, to say I'm thank you, but he wants me to praise him. He desires that we praise him. Worship and praise are a personal gift from me to him, from you to him. That's my gift to him for what he's done. Praising him. Okay, so what motivates us to praise the Lord? Well, let's look at some things here. Let's go to Psalm 57:7. Psalm 57:7. Have your Bibles ready. Here we go. Right. Psalm 57:7. We're looking at what is it that motivates me or you to praise the Lord. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. But what motivates me in that verse? My heart is made steadfast, right? It has a, it's on a mission. Okay? My heart wants to do this. From the very bosom, the very most inner being of me wants to praise God. I'm steadfast in that. Psalm 108, verse 1. I'm fixing my heart on praising him. How many of us do that? Psalm 108, verse 1. This is, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Okay, so that's going to be the purpose of my heart. I'm going to leave here today with the purpose of praising him all week. I've said it in my heart. I'm going to do this with his help. Okay? I'm steadfast in that. I'm immovable in that. I'm going to look for ways this week to praise him. Even things that you wouldn't normally praise God for. And I'll tell you what, if you do that, your week's full. Your day is full of praising God. Always. You would be doing it continually. Okay, so I fixed my heart on praising God. Well, let's go to Psalm 77. Verse 11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I'm going to meditate on his works. I'm going to meditate on his ways. I'm going to purpose to do that very thing. I'm going to think about what he's done. I'm going to make time in the day to remind myself what God has done. I'm going to go to the Word of God so I'm constantly reminded of the works he constantly does for us. So what motivates me to praise the Lord? Well, I fix my heart on him. I meditate on him. And if I go to Psalm 103, I might want to recount his benefits. Or as it says in this psalm, Psalm 103, verse 2. Let me read one with that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That means from the very depths of my soul, all of me. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What motivates me and you to praise the Lord? Let's not forget what he's done. Don't ever forget what he's done for you. Don't let it slip away in any part of the day. The celebration of the Lord's Supper, keep that in your mind constantly, that he gave his body and shed his blood for you. Always think of it. On those things. Okay, so how do I praise him? We just looked at what motivates me to praise him. How do I praise him? Well, we praise him by, let's go to Psalm 47, verse 1. Let's talk about something that some of you are terrified to do. Okay, ready for this? It's not hard, but you're going to need rhythm. And some of you got no rhythm. I'm sorry to say that. Is that okay? Can I say that? Yeah, you're okay with that. You start clapping, it sounds like an applause. Okay? So, oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. Now, there's two things we don't usually do there. Because we're afraid to be labeled a fanatic. Some of you come from backgrounds where don't show any emotion, somebody will think you're sick. Okay? So, or they will just, and you know, you're like the frozen chosen. You're just like, I can't move. They'll think I have emotions. And some of you are the other side of the spectrum, and you just got to settle down. Okay? But, oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Not a few, all of you. It's okay to clap. Now, see, that's what I mean. Okay? Shout to God. I hear people say all the time, I should have shouted. Why didn't you? Okay, listen to this. Shout to God with the voice of what? With the voice of what? Listen, if you're not a believer that believes you have victory over the enemy, then you're not going to shout like you are living in triumph. Right? If you're a believer that is defeated all the time, then you're not going to shout for triumph. Triumph comes from people who have won. All right? So, look at this. I want to praise Him by clapping my hands, by shouting with a voice of triumph. Psalm 63, ready for this? Psalm 63, verse 4. Thus I will, let me read verse 3. Because of your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Just look at that part of it. His loving kindness is better than life. Will our lips say something about that? The psalmist says I will. Psalmist says he will. And so, what else do we see here? Verse 4. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. It's funny to watch Christians. They want to raise their hands. Be singing a song and you want to raise your hand. Raise them up like you want to praise Him. It's just you and Him, folks. Don't worry what the guy next to you thinks of you because you raise your hands. This is a command. This isn't a suggestion. This is get excited about your faith. Raise your hands. Let's break the calcium buildup. Just raise your hands. Try it. That's not so bad. The point is giving your whole being to worshiping God. Because of the great things He's done for you. We're not talking about getting wild and radical where you're doing cartwheels down the aisle. We're talking about thanking Him. We're talking about, you're my God. I'm so grateful for what you've done for me. What's wrong with that? We should be doing that with the joy that's in our heart because of what He's done. So they would be doing this on the way to the tabernacle, on the way to the temple. Oh God, we get to come worship you. We're on our way. We're coming. We're singing for joy. I can't wait to give the sacrifice that you require of me. I can't wait to obey you. Thank you. The other thing, you know, the other side of that coin is maybe we're not His people. And we got nothing to thank Him for. You've been saved. You just celebrated the greatest gift given to man. And if that doesn't stir our hearts to worship Him, then something's wrong with us. I'm saying this is not just one day a week. This is every day of the week. All right. Psalm 135, verse 3. How many like to sing? And that's just a part of worship. Prayer is just as much a part of worship. The preaching of the word is worship. Everything we do is worship towards God. Everything. The way I do my job, the way I handle authority, when I talk to people, when I'm going shopping. And you say, well, that's crazy. No, that's worship. Everything you do is an opportunity to worship God. Amen? Everything. Well, here it says singing. Psalm 135, verse 3. What do we see here? Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is what? It's pleasant. Do you feel good when you sing to God? How does it make you feel when you hear worship music? It settles the soul, believe me. There's a reason David played the harp around Saul. You ever know why? It soothed the spiritual realm around. It just calmed everything. There's a wonderful thing about music, about praise, about worship. Psalm 47, go back there again. Psalm 47, into that area, verses 6 and 7. Says, sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. Okay, a couple things you see here in this psalm. What does God want you to do? I think he made that pretty clear, all right? But he wants you to sing with understanding. Why am I singing this? What's the words that I'm singing? You know, what is it doing? Who am I talking about? So it involves, our worship involves engagement. Why am I doing this? Why am I saying this? What's the outcome of me singing these words? We praise him, Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2, with a whole heart. Now, none of you want to come and worship God with just half your love for him. Or, you know, you want to give him everything. I hope that's your heart. It says, I will praise you, the psalmist. This psalmist here is David. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart, and I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you, and I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Part of praising here, notice this, is proclaiming what God has done for you. So even praise can be a conversation with somebody else. Of how good God is towards you. Certainly involves singing. And so, okay, so now we talked about what motivates us to worship God, or what motivates us to praise him, and how do we praise him. So when do I praise him? Well, we are to praise him, if we go to Psalm 113, look at verse 3, from the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. Now, that almost like Hebrews, you know, it's the sacrifice of my lips that I'm giving him, but it's all day long. You say, oh, I can't do that. I can't think of things to praise him for all day. That's a cop-out. Now, I'm not saying we have to sit there and praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus. You know, like every second on the drum beat. Not like that. Just constantly look throughout the day of reasons to praise him. From sun up to sundown. Because your day will be full of it. Okay? So we praise him all the time. Psalm 34, verse 1 says. Go back here and read that. Psalm 34, 1. Of course, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So you get the idea that I'm to praise him all the time. Well, where do we praise the Lord? Well, we praise him which I like, is Psalm 135 again, in the midst of the congregation, he says in verse 2. Best place to praise him is when we're together. And also in private, Psalm 119, verse 62, implies that I praise him even when I'm by myself. So why do you want to praise the Lord? Because if we look at our text today in Psalm 106, it says, praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? He's good. Is God good? Now, somebody shout out to me why he's good. His mercy endures forever. What else? He's renewed every morning. Why is he good to you? How has he been good to you? Okay, all right, Romans 8. How else? One more. He's forgiving. Amen, amen. Okay, he's good all the time. He's good all the time in every event of life. He's good on the mountaintop and he's good in the valley. He's good in the day of blessing and he is good in the day of pain. He is good in peace and he is good in turmoil. He's good in life, he's good in death. He's good in rejoicing and he's good in weeping. He's good to the saved man and the lost man at the same time. Both to the righteous and to the wicked, God's been good. He's good all the time. He is the Lord, and there is no one else. Now, how has the Lord shown his goodness to us? Life. Breath. Let's go to Ephesians. I just want you to see this. If I give you a couple things, this should fill your week with praises of this. If I even gave you one thought, and you thought about it all week, you'd have something to praise him about. But you guys have much more than what I can give you in 45 minutes or so. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Has he been good to you? Understand that verse, because everything Jesus has in glory belongs to you right now. Belongs to you. That's yours. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ belongs to the believer. It's not when you get to heaven, you have it now. This is what the sacrifice of Christ has brought to you. Okay, I'm after verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, to whom, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. A lot of stuff there. But listen, his goodness has been shown to you in that he chose you for salvation. But Pastor, I don't deserve anything. That's right. You don't. You deserve something. Deserve hell and torment and a Christless eternity. But because of his grace towards you, he's called you into a relationship with him. Praise God. Now, if that doesn't make you shout, then I'm not going to do any kind of dance to make you shout. So you ought to be, that should just excite your soul. And so not only that, if I go back to John, the Gospel of John, John 6, verse 44. Love John, the Gospel of John. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. Don't think you have anything in your being, in your power, to come to God without him, or to come to Christ without him. Jesus says himself, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That word draw in the Greek, you know what that means? Dragging and screaming. Hello? He drug you into a relationship with him. And you did everything in your power to resist it. Don't tell me you didn't. He even told Paul on the road to Damascus, you're kicking against the goads. The little barb that comes off the shepherd's staff that they would ram into the back thigh muscle of the sheep to get them to go, to get them to move. And Jesus says, you're kicking against it. Paul, you're going to go where I want you to go, but you're fighting me. Be glad not only that he chose you, but he called you. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 8 makes that very, very clear. I brought this up 2 weeks ago in verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Been done in God's eyes. Amen and amen and amen. And something to shout about, right? So he called us. He shows his goodness not just by choosing us or calling us, but he called us by his gospel and gave us his spirit. If you were to look let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 there. All the craziness that you see in a lot of places of worship today about the giving of the Holy Spirit. And when that happened, the Bible makes it very clear. In him you also trusted, verse 13, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. How many have believed the gospel? You're not saved if you haven't believed the gospel. Okay, so what happens when you believe the gospel? In whom also having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So I received the indwelling of the Spirit, Christ in me, the hope of glory, at the minute of conversion. Wow, is that something to, has he been good to me? Oh, not only did he save me, but he put himself in me to seal the package deal as a guarantee that he's coming back for what he bought. Praise God. Praise God for that. Okay, so he's placed our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Has he been good to us? Or you look at Luke chapter 10. Go back here to the Gospel of Luke. In chapter 10, verse 20. Of course, it's written and it says here, nevertheless, do not rejoice. The disciples have went out. They were sent out to minister and they were casting out demons in Christ's name. And they come back and they're excited. Oh man, even the demons listen to us, right? That's something to be excited about. Nevertheless, he says, look at verse 20, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Has it been good to you? Your name's on the register of the greatest house ever built. And you're not a guest, you're an owner. Hello? I'm going to win. You're going to get excited. But not only that, folks, when I think of how good God is to me, I think of what he's given me, what he bought for us. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Peter 1. Now, in this is a long thought, and you got to go clear back here to verse 3 to kind of get the thought. But it is the difference between those who he's begotten, who he has saved via the gospel, and those who are perishing. And he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's verse 3, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, if you're looking at that in a way that could be understood in the Greek, it would mean, according to his abundant mercy, he has caused us to be born again. Okay? Caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. But look at verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God, okay, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You are what? secure, kept, okay? Which means he won't lose you. Is he good to you? Folks, you can't even lose yourself. You can't do it yourself. If God's not going to lose you, what are you going to do to get lost? The eternal security of a believer is a biblical truth. Because I can't do anything to save myself, and I can't do anything to keep myself saved. That's like saying, I have to earn God's love, and I have to keep performing so he keeps loving me. Folks, he'll never love you any more than he loves you today. It's already settled. So rest. Just rest. Jesus has saved you. And he keeps you. And so he's good towards us. In Matthew 6, that whole passage between verses 25 to 33, where it says, therefore seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Folks, he provides for you. You know what? You don't really have to worry about tomorrow. He's already got it figured out. He's already got it planned. Don't turn the news on and get all riled up about what's going on in the world. Start thanking him for your salvation. Thank him that he's going to keep you through all of whatever's going to happen. And guess what? He's so good to us that John 14 tells me he's going to come back and get me. So we don't have to live very long in this world before it becomes painfully clear that nothing earthly lasts forever, but God's mercy. Now, if you look at where our text in Psalm 106, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures for how long? Forever. His mercy endures forever. Now, his mercy is shown by bringing us redemption. His mercy is showing us by giving life and breath and all things to us. His mercy is shown by saving us, forgiving us. We celebrate that. By blessing us, like in Ephesians 1:3. But his mercy remains forever. You know, man acts with stupidity towards God. We really do. You know, our understanding's dull sometimes. Our memories are really treacherous. We easily lose sight of God's mercy. We're just dumb. In that, we forget how God's been so good to us. And that's why we don't always praise him like we should. Because we start to forget. And so we have these psalms and we have scripture that constantly brings us back to reminders such as his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Psalm 130, I think is what. In spite of our treatment of him, he is gracious. He's a gracious God who is always merciful towards me. What should I expect when I go to his throne of grace? Mercy. 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 Because he's not going to give us what we deserve, folks. Okay, with all these passages of scripture that I talked about this morning, who can really utter, or who can really express the mighty acts of the Lord? We can't. Matter of fact, in the psalm we're in, his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all his praise? We can talk all day long. We'll never get to the bottom of it. We could be like Job in Job chapter 11. Go back here to Job 11. There's other verses in your bulletin, so make sure I'm not going to use them all today. But those, if you're visiting, that those bulletin verses are broke up into 6 days. You'll notice that. So in the scriptures that we use, or I use on Sunday morning, is giving you a 5-day devotion, really. That if you did all 5 days of that devotion, you will go over every scripture that I use in the message, and it will teach you exactly what I am preaching. So that's why I have it broke up like that. So, just in case you didn't know that. Okay, Job chapter 11. Let me get back here to the book of Job. Verses 7 through 9. And listen to what's said here. It says, can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? Of course, the answer is what? No. They are higher than heaven. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. So to answer the questions that's laid out in Psalm 106 is, no, nobody can get to the end of this. Nobody can totally understand all the things that God has done. There's things he just doesn't tell us, you know. When the question here is, who can utter or who can express would be the word for that. Who can tell of the mighty acts of the Lord, the complete mighty acts of God? We don't know. But I do know the things he's shown me. I do know how he's been good to me. I do know how to praise him for the things I do know. And so I need to be doing those things. So as you consider your praise in your praise life in light of this sermon, so when you're praising him this week, ask yourself if you're praising him in the way that he deserves to be praised. Ask yourself if you're thankful for his grace and blessings to the extent that you should be. Don't let this just go in your ears and out your other ear. Listen to what he says in the word, what God wants from you. And remember that those who are truly blessed or happy, okay, look down here at verse 3, blessed are those who keep justice or righteousness, and he who does righteousness at all times, okay? Those who are blessed, truly blessed, those who are happy, which is the word used for blessed there, okay, are those whose hearts are devoted to the Lord, who live in a habit of obedience, who do things that are right that pleases him, and are the ones who praise him. So let's work at praising God. Amen? All right, Father, thank you for a look into your word today. And Lord, I just pray, even as we sing again here, Lord, that just out of our hearts will flow just a love and a joy that comes from you. And Lord, not only that, when we leave this place today and we go into the week, Father, help us to be reminded of the great things you've done so that praise will come from our lips. We are grateful, Father, for those who you brought here today, grateful for your word, grateful that we can be together, Lord. And Lord, that you would be with us until we meet again, Lord, whether it's next Sunday or through the Bible studies of the week and our fellowship together, Lord, just pray that you would help us as a church in this day and hour to be a body that just magnifies your name. In Christ's name we pray, amen.